As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. Welcome back to the God School. Open your Bibles today to Psalm 42. Now, Psalm 42 and 43, I believe, are one psalm. They are a picture of this journey of faith, of the Father's journey. If we had a map, in front of us, if I could demonstrate, I would draw a line up and a line down and then up and then down and then up and then down. These two psalms give us a good idea of this journey of faith, and the comfort we can have and do have by God's word. Verse 2 says, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is your God? Now we can identify enemies of God by this phrase. Where is your God? Prove it to me. Show me God is on your side. When I remember these, I pour out my soul in me. He's in a remembering stage. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Holy day, feast day, set time of God. A high, if you will, Sabbath day. It was a time of joy and praise. And yet now, in the fifth verse, the Father is asking, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou quieted in me. I think this next phrase comes from a preacher. And it is not only a call to remembrance, but it's a command. And that voice says, "Hope thou in God." And the preacher is saying, "For I shall yet praise him." The help of his countenance. Back to the Father, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." Therefore, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and the hill of Miser. I will remember from the high points and the low points. Deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of your waterspouts. All your waves and your billows are gone over me." Translators add the beginning of this eighth verse, the word "yet." I have confidence it's properly placed. This guy, this father, is crying, "My tears have been my meat day and night." You know, "Thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." Yet, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the day, in the daytime, and in the night his song with me. And my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock. I'd remind us, the English translates two Hebrew words, rock. The first word is, Hebrew word is tsur, and it's a giant rock. The other is Sila or silly, sali. And the Hebrew gives us a picture of a cleft rock. We have that wonderful old song in our hymnals. Rock of ages, cleft for me. A place. Where God hides us, where he has made a place for us. I will send God my cleft rock. Why has thou forgotten me? And why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is your God? There is not a child of God. A chosen one of God, one whom God has engraved them on the palms of their hand, who, while on this earth, who, while living in the flesh, has not encountered these ideas. These thoughts. Nor is there any one of God's children whom God does not give this hopeful refrain? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? These are ideas. God gives his response. God gives his spirit. God gives his word. The preacher again says, hope you in God. For I shall yet praise him, the health of my countenance, and though it looks to be exactly the same as verse 5 in this 42nd Psalm, there is one word that's changed in the translation. It says, instead of the help of his countenance, it now says the health of my countenance. And it's added, not by the translators, but by this Father and my God. Psalm 43 opens and says, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against. An ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Just I'm not getting into any kind of political discussion today. I know it says it on the website, but today is October 30th, 2016. And in this world, we're facing a political situation that I think any child of God can pray this same prayer. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust. For you are the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Why go I mourning because of the circumstances I find myself in? Why, I might ask, am I continually confronted with circumstances that seem to defy God's promises when I know He's faithful and have all my confidence in His Word, and yet I find these circumstances which seem to defy those promises? And when we find ourselves looking with the eyes of the flesh, it can affect our soul, and we can ask these questions . Why does that cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and thy tabernacles. So, this is Sunday morning, October 30th. On Tuesday of this coming week, we are going to enter in to the beginning of the 500th anniversary from the day that we, and I hope you hear my words closely, we Protestants mark the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. This was the time, October 31st, 1517, that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the wall of the Wittenberg Church. This was a time that the vault that had been built around and locked up God's word by, I'm talking institutions, folks, by the Roman Catholic Church, wherein the light of God's word was being snuffed out and replaced by institutions, by traditions of men, and not by the word of God. And the Reformation, the true Reformation, was the time when God's word was being brought back to the people in a language that they could understand and they could read for themselves. I recall a time in my life when I have every confidence by the Spirit of God, my life was being shaken up, and I was expressing I didn't use these words, but I can, the disquietness of my spirit with a priest, and he looked and he said to me, you just have to have faith. And I said, in what? And he said, in the church. Now, this was a time I had had a Bible for maybe a year. I had not a teacher, a pastor who could open the word up to me, so I was unfamiliar, but there was this visceral response in me when he said to the question, faith in what? His response was, in the church. Folks, I was born and raised, grammar school, high school, educated by the church. I had seen and experienced many things, good and not good, in the men and women who represented, who were so-called representatives of the church. And you know, I knew better. There was something in me that knew better. The true man or woman that God has gifted to his church is not going to respond, have faith in the church, have faith, have hope in the church. They're going to say, hope thou in God. And as we enter in to this 500th, that's 5, the number of grace, that's 10, the number of human responsibility, times 10, human responsibility manifested, and men and women of God began to help their fellow countrymen who were gifted enough to bring the Word of God out of the vault that the Latin church had built around God, wherein they commanded only in Latin, a language that was a dead language, that was not a language of any people, but it was a language of scholarship, and it was a language, it was an ecclesiastical language, but the people didn't speak it. And as it began to be understood in a language that the people of God were familiar with, whatever language it was in the land that they were in, this was the foundation. Of the Reformation, the light of God's Word, and the truth. It's the Word of God. To continue in verse 3 of Psalm 43, let them lead me, let them bring me to thy holy hill and thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp I will praise thee, O God, my God. The word has come to this father. Again. And yet, here, a third time, the response comes. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. Now look, in verse 5, it says, hope thou in God. This is a third person. This is spoken in the third person. In verse 11 of Psalm 42, it says, hope thou in God. Again, But now, the Father is saying within himself, that spirit that God puts in each and every one of his children. Hope in God. He's talking to himself. It's coming from within him. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now, King James translation translates in the fifth verse of the 42nd Psalm, for the help of his countenance. What does this word countenance mean? The Hebrew word in its root is panah, and it means face. You know, it says in Numbers 6 that, you know, God gives instructions to Moses on how to bless God's people. And it says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The essence of the word countenance has to do with presence before his face. It was just in the last few weeks that we taught so many in Israel in the day of Elijah, they use that phrase, as the Lord thy God liveth. But Elijah added, King James translation, before whom I stand. And we expounded and showed the expression is, in whose presence I am. What do you think Jesus meant when he said, I shall be with you always? And God, way back in the Pentateuch, makes the statement, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee. That phrase is repeated in that last chapter of the book of Hebrews. What do you think it means? His presence is with us. And when we begin to recognize his presence with us, in whose presence we are, we will praise him. The word translated here, and there are several words in the Hebrew, which are translated praise. In these Psalms, the word is, excuse me, it is yada. In the liturgical sense, it is hands spontaneously extended in worship. Same Hebrew word, yada, speaks of intimate relations with another. In this journey of faith, we are going to encounter times that circumstance may seem to overwhelm us, but we need to remember His countenance, His presence with us. And we have that opportunity because of the Reformation, which now has provided the Word of God, wherein we can personally dive into and grab hold of, and not have to look to someone else to tell us and often like that, I believe he was sincere, but like that man of God who would mislead me and tell me that my confidence was to be put in the church and not in God. Our English word church means, in its etymological roots, the people that belong to the Lord. Not to some institution. The people that belong to the Lord go to the Lord's house, that's not the church, wherein they may be edified in the Word, if, in fact, it is a true gathering place of God's people. Three times it is said in the fifth verse of Psalm 42, in the 11th verse of Psalm 42, and here in the fifth verse of Psalm 43, but the Father now is no longer instructed or being instructed. He is making the declaration to himself, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. The health of my countenance and My God, he says in the fifth verse, the help of his countenance, his presence. It says in 42:5, the help. In 42:11, the health. In 43:5, the health. The same Hebrew word is being translated here once help, twice health. The word is Yeshuat. It becomes that name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, this is the Greek translation of this word, Yeshuat, Jesus, that every knee shall bow in things in heaven, in things in earth, in things beneath the earth. And in this, presence of Jesus, we might say, Jesus, the Jesus of my presence and my God. That's out of the old. And the faithful householder, both brings and presents something old and something new. In Romans 3, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not one of God's children who has not come short of the glory of God. In this walk of faith, we are reminded of our shortfallen condition. But we are also, as Paul continues in this third chapter of Romans, to be reminded that we are being righteousified freely by his grace, unmerited favor, through the redemption, that is, the price paid, that is in Christ Jesus, K King James 25th verse says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. The better translation is, whom God has set before his face forever. The Greek word being translated propitiation here is hilasterion, the mercy seat, that place. Jesus. Where we are forever before the face, the presence of our God. There are times in this journey that circumstance and positions we find ourselves in do defy the word. But as at the table of the Lord, we are to remember our hope. Our hope in God. And that hope is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's bigger than whatever circumstance we might find ourselves in. In this 5th and 11th verse of Psalm 42 and the 5th verse of Psalm 43, there is a part of me that can reach up and, in spite of circumstance, grab hold of God and His Word, knowing He spoke and made everything from nothing. Therefore, His word is more substantial. And our hope is in Jesus Christ. And faith is the title deed, the sure confidence of things hoped for. When this psalm ends in 43:5, you know what? For the time, it's the end of complaining. I hope this message stays with me for a while, and I hope it stays with you for a while. And we shall continue to praise God in Jesus Christ, in His presence. And that's the God School for today.